Amen. Brothers and sister, let's start reading a few verses. Hebrews
7:25.
Romans 8:26, 27, and 34. This is under the message title. How about we first pre-read Hebrews 7:25 and then pre-read immediately after that Romans 8:34. And then pray read Romans 8:26 and 27. Hebrews 7:25, Romans 8:34, and then Romans 8:26 and 27. Two by two, pray read. Amen. Hebrews 7:25. Hence also he is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through him, since he lives always to intercede for them. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died, and rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Romans 8:26 and 27. Moreover, in like manner, the Spirit also joined in to help us in our weakness, for we do not know for what we should pray as is fitting, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. But he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We come to message 6, the prayer of intercession. This whole series of messages in the Thanksgiving conference, this is a high peak truth, but it's also practical to us. The prayer of the age is different than the ordinary prayer. This kind of prayer, the purpose is for God to gain a glorious church. This is God's economy. In order to have this kind of prayer, we need to know where we are. We are in ascension. When we return to our spirit, then we are in ascension. Christ had gone through all the process. He became the Spirit, came into us. When we enter into the Spirit, then we are in ascension. In message 2, talk about the content of the prayer, the prayer of the age. First is regarding the revelation. Second is for experience for the church. Then in message 3, talk about, in order to have this kind of prayer, we need to know there are three wills in this universe: God's will, Satan's will, and man's will. Our man's will need to submit to God, and to know God's will, to express a prayer in God's will that would defeat the enemy, Satan. So then he can accomplish what he wants accomplished. We need to have such an attitude. And then in message 4, talk about we can enter into his name. His name is a sphere that we can enter. This name is also an element that could enter into us. We enter into him and he enter into us. We are mingled as one. In this mingling, we have a prayer. Not only we have a proper position in ascension, But we also have a proper means, which is his name, and enter into the sphere. This name has been committed to the church. There are three aspects of result this past week. The prayer of the administration and prayer of the authority. The prayer of the authority is toward the high mountain, the mountains, both outward and inward. A lot of difficulties, problems. And toward God, our prayer and the merit of Christ then became the well-pleasing fragrance to God. This fragrance would motivate God's administration. And he, all things are worked out for those who love him. And his desire to have the glorious church for his glory. This is his administration. In his administration, many times we are suffering from Satan's attack. That's why we need to exercise the prayer of authority. Satan has the power, but we have authority. The authority can overcome power. We can command the mountains to be cast into the sea. Then we have Mr. 6, which is toward man, the prayer of intercession. This serious message, on one hand, it has lots of revelation, but the other, on the other hand, is life to us. Through revelation, we can experience him in life. We have the revelation of the truth, and then we also have the experience of life. In message 2, talk about the two prayers. One is for revelation, one is for experience. Every message has revelation that we know the truth. And then we can have the experience of life practically. How about we read some of the major points in message 6? Point 1, in his heavenly ministry, Christ is interceding, and we need to respond to his interceding, intercession. Romans 2, in order to respond to Christ's heavenly intercession, we need to know the significance of the golden incense altar. Romans 3, the interceding spirit helps us, sympathizes with us, sustains us, comforts us, and supports us by interceding for us. Romans 4. In Acts 12, we have the intercessory prayer of the church. And in Colossians 1, 9-11, the intercessory prayer of the Apostle Paul. Point 5. We must persevere in prayer and respond to Christ's intercession by seeking the things which are above and by setting our mind on them. This 5 point show us the structure of this message. Again, we will look at the thoughts in this message. The brothers composed the outline with much thought given into it. The first point talk about Christ is interceding. Hebrews 7:25 and Romans 8:34 talk about he is the intercessor for us. He lives always to intercede for them. 8:34. Who also intercede for us? Christ intercedes for us. He is in heaven. So he intercedes for us. He is with the Father. He also at the right hand of God. So the point one talk about the Christ is interceding for us. Romans 2 talk about our response. Our response. Responding to Christ's heavenly intercession. Our prayer is on the earth. Christ is on in the heaven. We are here correspond to his heavenly intercession. And then in Romans 3, talk about the Spirit, the interceding Spirit. It's not in the heaven, but it's in us. When we pray, read Romans 75 and 8:34, it's talk about Christ interceding for us. Then Romans 8:26 and 27 talk about the interceding Spirit. In the like manner, the Spirit also joined us to help us in our weakness, for we do not know for what we should pray is fitting, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Then verse 27, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to God. So the Spirit is interceding for us in us. Christ is interceding. The Spirit is in us interceding also. Romans 4, talk about in the body, the interceding of the body. The church is praying for Peter. Paul is praying for the church. And then Romans 5 is a conclusion. There's a conclusion for this message and also conclusion of the conference. That we must persevere in prayer and respond to Christ's intercession by seeking the things which are above and by setting our mind on them.
To seek
the things which are above. It will keep us in the position of ascension. Colossians 3:1-2 talk about seeking the things which are above. This is corresponding to Christ's intercession. And we must persevere in such a prayer. This is structure. Christ is interceding. We are interceding on the earth. And then the interceding Spirit help us. And then in the body, there's an interceding, intercessory prayers of the church. And then we must persevere in prayer, in such a prayer. Romans 1, there are some sub-point. How about we read the sub-points? A, in Romans 8:34, Christ intercedes for us to be glorified. And in Hebrews 7:25, Christ intercedes for us so that we may be saved to the uttermost. Being saved to the uttermost is the equivalent of glorification. Point B, Christ is our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, interceding for us. Brothers 3:1, Christ died for us. He was resurrected, and now he is in the heavens, interceding for us and caring for us. God has appointed him to take care of us, and he is now taking care of us by interceding for us. Sisters 2, as the one who intercedes for us, the Lord is able to save us to the uttermost, that is, completely, entirely, perfectly, for all time and eternity, and to the end. Altogether 3, Christ undertakes our case by interceding for us. He appears before God on our behalf, praying for us that we may be saved and brought fully into God's eternal purpose. Point C, Christ's intercession requires our response. We need to become on earth the reflection of Christ's intercession in his heavenly ministry, praying the prayers of the interceding Christ. All the points here in Roman 1 are convey this to us. Point A in Romans
8:34
and Hebrews 7:25 talk about he is interceding for us so he may save us, so we may be saved to the uttermost. And if children, heirs also, on the one hand, heirs of God, on the other, joint heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Christ intercedes for us. What is he interceding for us? For us to be glorified, to be saved to the uttermost. His interceding is not for the earthly blessing, but he's interceding for us is so that we can be glorified. The spirit, soul, and body can be saved, to save to the uttermost. So we can go, we can be transformed, we can have the growth into maturity. Romans 8:30 talk about those we who predestinate, those he also call, and those whom he call, this he also justify. Those whom he justify, those he also glorify. We were justified through the church life, we're being sanctified, we're going through sanctification. We hope when the Lord returns, we one day we will be glorified. We will enter into glory. The purpose of Christ intercede for us is to save us to the uttermost and to for us to be glorified. And Christ, point B, talk about he's our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Aaron is also a high priest.
But
Melchizedek is also, he have no father, mother, he has no genealogy. Aaron is a priest from the humanity. According to the order of Melchizedek,
it's
unlimited. So Aaron would die one day. He cannot intercede for us. But Christ has the order of Melchizedek that he abides forever. And his priesthood unalterable. The order of Melchizedek is because he abides forever. He is unlimited. Aaron, according to the order of Aaron, it could not save us to the uttermost. Christ is our high priest. He is the eternal. He abides forever. And he has the power so he can intercede for us. Hebrews 7:26, for such a high priest was also feeding for us, holy, and he becomes higher than the heavens. He can save us to the uttermost because he's higher than the heavens. The three sub-point talk about Christ died for us. He was resurrected. Now he's in the heavens interceding for us, caring for us. Christ is caring for us. He's the high priest to care for us. Point two, as the one who intercedes for us, the Lord is able to save us to the uttermost, is completely, entirely, perfectly, for all time and eternity, and to the end. He takes care of us. He can save us to a point where we are complete, entirely, perfectly. He can infuse the divine element into us so that we can be mature. Then there's a corresponding point in point three. Christ undertakes our case by interceding for us. And he is the lawyer for us. He's the attorney for us. He appeared before God on our behalf.
And
so there will be no barrier between God and man. And restore the fellowship between us and God. So the point three talk about this. He dealt with our negative things, the sin, something that we can be reconciled to God. There will be peace between God and man. So he is the propitiation place. Here, he is interceding for us. He's the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And he cares for us. He takes care of us to the point that, to the uttermost, that we are completely, entirely, and perfectly. And he dealt with our negative things. And he restored the fellowship between man and God. Most of the point here are from the footnote of Hebrews 7:25. Point C talk about his intercession require our response. We need to become on the earth the reflection of Christ's intercession in his heavenly ministry. Christ is the interceding for us. He's interceding for us in the heaven. His purpose of the intercession is to save us to the uttermost, to be glorified. And he is our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He abides forever. He deals with the negative things. He restored our fellowship with God. And this, he's taking care of us. And this kind of interceding requires our response as a reflection of Christ's intercession. Okay. Now let's look at point two. In order to respond to Christ's heavenly intercession, we need to know the significance of the golden incense altar. The incense altar is a type not of Christ's prayer, but of his person. It signifies Christ praying, Christ interceding. The incense altar signifies Christ as an intercessor to maintain the relationship between God and his people. Without such an interceding Christ, the proper relationship between God and us could not exist and could not be maintained. See, today the intercessor is not merely Christ himself, but Christ with his body. As members of the body of Christ, we should participate in Christ's interceding life by praying in him as the golden incense altar. Sub-point one. Brothers, after his resurrection and ascension, the individual Christ has become the corporate Christ. Thus, before God today, not only is the individual Christ interceding, but the corporate Christ, the head of the body, with the body, is interceding as well. Sisters, too. Christ, the head, is interceding in the heavens, and the church, the body, is interceding on earth. As the members of Christ and the parts of the body of Christ, we cooperate with Christ in his ministry of intercession, carry out his intercession in our prayer of intercession. This point, Roman 2 and 1, are corresponding to one another. Point 8, talk about the incense altar. It's a type, not of Christ's prayer, but of his person. It signifies Christ praying, Christ interceding.
他为什么带球？就是刚才说的，就是为了维持神
跟人之间的正确的关系。Interceding for us. He intercedes as the intercessor. He maintained the relationship between God and his people. Maintain the relationship between God and his people.
但是今天这一位代求者他已经不是个别的代求者。
This Christ, this intercessor is not merely a Christ, but with his body. This is a corporate intercessor. This is the enlargement. The individual intercessor of Christ, not only he's now the head, but the body also with the head.
我们看到这个第三个终点下面所列的经节，这里罗马书八章二十六、二十七跟三十节
Romans 26, 27 and 34 talk about he is intercession.
这是他代求，这是个别的。
It's the individual Christ interceding. Ephesians 6:18, Ephesians 6:19, and then Colossians talk about the interceding of the body. Ephesians 6:18, by means of all prayer and petition, praying every time in spirit, watching unto this to all perseverance concerning all the saints. It's not an individual, not just the head, but concerning all the body, all the saints. Verse 19, and for me, amen, that the utterance may be given to me. Colossians 1:9, therefore also since the day we heard it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf, that you may be filled with the full knowledge. Colossians 4:3, praying at the same time for us also. Praying for us. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, a slave, always struggling on your behalf, struggling on your behalf in his prayer. This is a members interceding for one another, the body interceding. Point one says, after his resurrection and ascension, the individual Christ has become the corporate Christ. So, not only individual Christ interceding, but the corporate Christ is interceding as well. Point two, Christ is the head, is interceding in the heaven, and then the church, the body, is interceding on earth. Romans 8:34, Christ died and then raised, and he's also at the right hand of God. He's in the heavens, who also intercede for us. Acts 12:5 talk about Peter. Was kept in prison, and then prayer was being made fervently by the church.
好，我们现在把这两个大点，我们回头来看一看，好不好？我们能够。
How about we review point one and two? Point one, talk about Christ interceding. He is in his heavenly ministry, interceding for us. And the purpose of his interceding is to save us to the uttermost, that we can be glorified. And he is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Interceding for us. He is abide forever. He's not only
in
both in time and in nature. And he can save us to the uttermost. He's taking care of us. He infused the positive element into us. He removed all the negative items, removed all the barrier between God and man. He became the peace between God and man. And interceding for us, he's our advocate. And Christ's intercession requires our response. So that we can become on earth the reflection of Christ's intercession, praying the prayers of the interceding Christ. And this brings us to point two, talk about the incense altar is a type, not Christ's prayer, but his person. And he's the intercessor. As the intercessor, he maintained the relationship between God and his people. This intercessor is not only an individual Christ, but also a corporate Christ. The individual intercessor is praying, interceding for us, which is the head, but the body is also prays such an intercessory prayer. Today, our prayer on the earth has become the response and cooperate with Christ and carry out his intercession in our prayer of intercession. Amen. So two by two, let's speak this to Roman numerals.
Okay.
Since we come to point three, Roman 3, let's read again. The interceding spirit helps us, sympathizes with us, sustains us, comforts us, and supports us by interceding for us. This is mainly based on Romans 8:26 and 27. Point A is regarding verse 26. Point A and B of 26 and C is 27. The Spirit who indwells us help us in our weakness. In particular, the weakness referred to Romans 8:26 is weakness in prayer. Point one, brothers, because we are weak in God's interest and in the divine things, and do not know what kind of prayer God desires, the indwelling Spirit works in us to help us in our weakness in prayer. Praying. Sisters, the Spirit joins in to help us in like manner. In whatever manner we are, he also is. The Spirit helps us in every kind of situation, for he knows our needs, problems, and shortcomings, and he sympathizes with us, supports us, and sustains us. Point B, the Spirit intercedes for us with groaning in our manner. Sisters 1, apparently this is our groaning, but in our groaning is the groaning of the Spirit. Two, while we are groaning from deep within our spirit, the Spirit who dwells in our spirit joins in our groaning, interceding for us, mainly that we would have the transformation in life, for growth in life unto maturity. Point C, as the Spirit works in us by helping us in our weakness, and by interceding for us, he infuses his according to God mind into us in our prayer. Sisters, Ephesians 4:23 speaks of the spirit of the mind, but Romans 8:27 speaks of the mind of the Spirit. The spirit of the mind is for renewing, and the mind of the Spirit is for interceding. Point two, the Spirit's mind is mingled with our mind. Our mind is set on the Spirit, making our mind one with the mind of the Spirit. Romans 3 talk about the interceding prayer. Interceding Spirit is happening in us. Christ interceding is in the heavens. But the Spirit, the interceding prayer, help us. Take care of our needs, intercede for us. In the heaven, he is our advocate. He appears before God on our behalf. But today, in our spirit, And he is caring for us. The Spirit who indwells us helps us in our weakness. In particular, the weakness referred to our weakness in prayer. Romans 26 says, he helps us in our weakness, for we do not know for what we should pray as is fitting. So our weakness here is really weakness in prayer. We don't know what to pray. Point one, because we are weak in God's interest and in the divine things. So that we need revelation. We don't know His desire. Do not know what kind of prayer God desires. So the indwelling Spirit works in us to help us. In our weakness in praying. So the Spirit joins in to help us in like manner, groaning. In what manner we are, He also is. He came to us. He joined us. But He is also groaning. Spirit, help us to sympathize us. He sympathizes with us, supports us, and sustains us. He helps us in every kind of situation because He knows our needs, our problems, and our shortcomings. He sympathizes with us, supports us, and sustains us. This point A, really simply put, the Spirit sympathizes us. They know, the Spirit knows of our weakness. Of weakness in prayer. So He helps us. Join in us. He knows about our weakness. And He intercedes for us. Point B, how does He intercede for us? When we and He intercede with us in a like manner, in our manner, when we grow Him, and He growing in our manner. Point A, talk about Spirit intercedes for us, and He sympathizes with us, and His heart is to intercede for us, but He's intercede with us in a like manner. This interceding, intercession, is through groaning. Through our groaning. The reason He growing from deep within us is to, so that we can grow, we can be transformed in life and grow in life unto maturity. So we can become we can be glorified. Point C, talk about Romans 8:27. In the Spirit works in us by helping us in our weakness and by interceding for us. He infuses His according to God's mind into us. He knows about our weakness first, so He help us. He not only just sympathize with us, but He also carried out by intercedes and grown with us in like manner, and for the purpose that we can be transformed and grow into maturity. And in then three, the C talk about in such a groaning, He would infuse His mind into our mind, into our prayer. Ephesians 4:23 speaks of the spirit of the mind, but the Romans 8:27 speaks of the mind of the Spirit. The spirit of the mind is for renewing, but the mind of the Spirit is for interceding, as that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's Ephesians 4:23. This spirit of our mind, the spirit of the mind is for our renewal. But the mind of the Spirit is for interceding. In 27. So point two, the Spirit's mind is mingled with our mind, and our mind is set on the Spirit, making our mind on one with the mind of the Spirit. So set our mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And he's mingling with our mind. He infused, he's according to God's mind into us in our prayer. By such an infusion that we will know God's mind, we can pray, intercede according to God's mind. He sympathizes with us. He come to us so that we can grow and be transformed. And then he also help us by interceding. Point four, Roman four, talk about two examples, two patterns. In Acts 12, when Paul was put in, Peter was put in prison. Then Colossians 1, Paul was praying for the saints. Colossians 1:9-11. How about we read together? Therefore, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf that you may be filled with the full knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing by the full knowledge of God, being empowered with all power, according to the might of His glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy. This is Paul, Apostle Paul, praying for them on their behalf. Let's read point A. When Peter was in prison, prayer was being made fervently by the church to God concerning him. Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer was being made fervently by the church to God concerning him. This is the prayer in the body, praying for Peter. Behind the scene, there was a battle of spiritual forces, a battle between God and his enemy Satan. Sisters, too, by prayer of the church, fought the battle with God against Satan, the evil one. Point B is another pattern, Paul's pattern, is Colossians 1:9. Paul prayed that the saints would be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Brothers, one, here the will of God concerns the all-inclusive Christ as our portion. Sisters, two, the will of God is profound in relation to our knowing, experiencing, and living the all-inclusive Christ. God's will for us is that we know Christ, experience Christ, enjoy Christ, live Christ, and to have Christ become our life and our person. This is Romans 4. This is a prayer, the intercessory prayer in the body. These two patterns, there are two different aspects of this kind of prayer. Peter was in prison. Praying was being made firmly by church to God concerning him. So Peter then was released from the prison. You can, this is an outward environment. When the Paul, the reason we say it's outward, because in the point B, talk about the inward. Inward situation. We need the Lord to release us, to be not to be bound. A lot of attack, of frustrations. This is outward. To overcome this outward situation is more negative, to be free from those difficulties. But the point B, talk about the inward situation, inward constitution. So that we know Christ, experience Christ, and live Christ. And this is more important. The brothers wrote this are very important, and very thoughtful. First, we need to be loose, we need to be free. We not just stop there, but we also need to be filled with the full knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, meaning that we need to be fully constituted by Him. There's not only a negative side, but it's also a positive side. Negatively, we're being free from our outward environment and situation, but inwardly, we need to be filled by Him. In point one, under A, behind the scene there was a battle of spiritual forces, a battle between God and His enemy, Satan. Saints, there's always a battle of spiritual forces behind the scene. Don't just look at the outward situation. Every outward situation, there is a, behind the scene, there was a battle of spiritual forces. Point two, talk about by prayer, the church fought the battle with God against Satan. Acts 12 here, we're not going to be able to read all the verses, but we read some of the verses. Verse 5, 12:5, talk about Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made fervently by the church to God concerning him. And when Herod was about to bring him forward, the night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, the guard before the door were keeping the prison. Herod was the one. Herod is the one that guard him in the spirit, in the prison. And then you come to Acts 12:22, Acts 12:21. And this Herod, and on an appointed day, Herod arrayed himself in royal clothing and sat on the judgment seat, and he delivered a public address to them. Then the populace cried out, "The voice of God and not of a man." Herod is here, he's representing Satan. They are breast of, you know, making him God. And then, verse 23, they instantly an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give the glory to God. And he was usurped the glory of God, and he was eaten by worms and expired. Outwardly was Herod putting Peter in the prison, but there is Satan behind the scenes. There's Satan, but the church praying for Peter. Not only Peter was released, but Herod was also eaten by worm and expired. Here is the a battle was won. Because the church prayed for him and have such a result. Point B, talk about Paul. Paul prayed in a positive sense. He would bring us into the enjoyment of Christ. Point one, here the will of God concerns the all-inclusive Christ as our portion. In Colossians 1:9, Paul was praying for them. And point 12, in verse 12 says, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. God's will, the will of God. What is will of God? That he wants us to share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light so that we can have his life and enjoy him. Point two, the will of God is profound in relation to our knowing, experiencing, and living the all-inclusive Christ. This next sentence is very important. God's will for us is that we know Christ, experience Christ, enjoy Christ, live Christ, and have Christ become our life and our person. This is God's economy. In Philippians 3:7-10, this portion, Paul says, for what things we gain to me that I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be lost on the account of the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus my Lord. On the account, I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as refuse, I may gain Christ. Revelation is very important. The truth will bring in life. When we have the truth been revealed to us, then we can experience it. Verse 9, and be found in him, meaning that he lived him out, not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, to gain the Christ, to live out Christ. And verse 10, to know him, the power and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. To know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Christ become our life. We experience Christ as our life. And then the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. What does that mean, to confirm to that meaning to be his person? The resurrected resurrection is life. And then conform to his death is that Christ be our person. And then 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. Colossians 3:4, Christ is our life, is manifested, then we will also be manifested with him in glory. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ make his home in your heart. Make his home meaning his person. His person came into us. He is the man.
And
our own person will have to be replaced by him. We have a flag that says Christ is the head of the house. Sometimes we say, you know, I'm the head of the house. The Christ is the head of the house. This is Paul's prayer. How about we review both point 3 and 4? The outline is not that long. The recite this. The interceding spirit help us, sympathize us with us, sustain us, comfort us, and support us by interceding for us. The Spirit indwells in us, help us in our weakness, and he sympathizes with our weakness. Our weakness mainly we don't know God's desire. God's interest. So he helped us in like manner. We know, we only know how to groan, and he groaned with us. He knows. So he groaning in our manner, but he also help us to grow, to be transformed and grow in life. And through this interceding, he infused God's mind into our mind in our prayer. And there's interceding in Roman 4, talk about the intercessory prayer in the body. On one hand, we have the pattern of Peter and both Paul. Paul was put in prison, but church was praying for him fervently, so he can be saved from his outward environment. And so that we know there's always a battle behind the scenes.
We're
fighting against the evil. There's a spiritual. We have this gospel meeting on March 6th. There's a spiritual battle. Satan will not let people go to come into the Lord's kingdom. This is the battle. We need to pray for this gospel meeting.
When we
pray in such a way, Herod was able to put him, you know, in the prison with very heavily guarded, but he was able to be released. Herod was representing Satan, and he was trying to exalt himself. In that case, he was struck by the Lord. And he was eaten by the worm and expired. So this caused Satan to suffer, loss. On the other hand, Paul's prayer that we also need to have to be filled with the full knowledge of his will. And we need to have this Christ as our portion. We need to enjoy this portion, experience this portion, and we live this portion, live Christ, and then we can have Christ become our life and our person. How about two by two? Speak about these two Roman numerals. Maybe we have time for saints to share later. Point five, we must persevere in prayer and respond to Christ's intercession by seeking the things which are above. What is the things which are above? Which is in Christ, in the church. It's the church in the church life. The things which are above in the church. Seeking the things which are above, this is a response to Christ's intercession. So we need to remain in the position, in ascension, and respond to Him to have a persevere in prayer. Many saints mentioned that this is a high truth here. This past week we talked about the prayer of administration, prayer of authority. It's very high. It's a high kind of prayer. If you want to be an overcomer, we need to learn to pray such a way. Our natural men don't know how to pray in this way. But this prayer of the age,
带回到一开始讲到那个升天的地位。
And this point in Romans 5, it brings us back to the position of ascension. We need to turn to our spirit, exercise our spirit, stay in our spirit, so we can be completely mingle with Him, so we can enter into Him, and then His riches will be infused into us to be filled by Him. So we can't have the prayer of authority very loosely. We need to be submit to the authority in our daily living so we can pray. We can pray the prayer of the authority. We need to live under authority so we can pray accordingly. Our difficulty are those mountains. The mountains may be some outward mountains, but our inward difficulties, our inward problem, are mostly are the high mountain. The overcomer, overcomer is not just the victor. Overcoming, it's overcoming something. In Revelation 2 and 3 with the seven churches, every church has some problem, has some weaknesses, but they need to be overcome. So to become the overcomers, we need to overcome the oldness, overcome some of our high mountain in us. These messages really help us. In our prayer meeting, now we have more to come to pray, knowing that we need to have such a kind of prayer. But the church also, through this kind of prayer, can be expanded, can be spread. Next week, we're going to start getting into the winter training, the crystallization study of Romans regarding God's gospel. We encourage the saints who come to the PSRP time. We will have other brothers to serve such a PSRP. These kind of messages to prepare the bride so that we can be the overcomers. The more we get into this, the more we have the revelation, the more of the truth, then we can experience all the messages in life. So every message, the life is hidden in the truth. It's been so through the revelation of the truth, then we can also experience in our small group, in our Lord's Day meetings, all the different kind of gatherings, we can speak the truth. The more we speak, they will be constituted in others. Not we also, in such a preparation, we can be constituted with this truth. Eventually, we will be transformed and can be matured. I think you can share anything through a whole series, maybe this message or even previous messages. Next week, we will have a joint meeting. We may not have time to prophesy, but, you know, this is a time for you to share.